General Motors on safari. Here is adventure.
Excitement.
And danger. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa are proud to present another program in their current series, bringing you the African bushbelts of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on safari. After a long trek through the hot Zambezi Valley, the two hunters had returned to their camp. The hunt had been fruitless. The elephants they had sought had evaded the trackers all day. Skellen, the head tracker, had expected to find the herd resting under the giant trees in a machete. But the spoor had led through the shade, past the clear water, deep pools of the Ngwezi, and on into the tree-covered hills to the west. Putting his bony fingers deep in the still steaming dung, Skellum had waited for the two white men to catch up with him. The day was almost ended, and so John Farrell and Frank Lauderdale decided to call it quits and headed back towards camp. My story tonight was told to me many years ago by Lauderdale himself. I have called it Tembo Ruri, truly an elephant. Went down to the pools to drink and were soon stretched out on their backs in the dying sunlight. Skellum, having cleaned his hands of the elephant dung, doctored the fingernails with a long white camille thorn. Sixpence the cook prepared the supper. The white men washed in the canvas basin outside their tents, and then they changed into khaki slacks and soft shell spoons. Going over to the fire, Lauderdale and Farrell sat in deck chairs to await Sixpence's efforts in the bush kitchen.
Think they could find us tonight?
Late. He should turn up there. Late him at the mayor at Lusaka.
Mayor's always early, about 10 hours late.
In which case, he won't be here till tomorrow night. So let's eat when Sixpence yells, huh?
Dinner is served, Iguana.
There you are. As carriages, could it possibly be a trick?
There's
problems there. Is it edible, Victor?
No, Wana. Not edible, but very, very good, Wana.
Dinner was good and edible. There was no pudding because the jelly hadn't set. After the meal, the white men went back to the fire and smoked.
Smell the meal in your tank. I beg you for letting the stuff burn.
No, I prefer it that way. Who's the native talking with Sixpence?
Never seen him before. Brought word from Dick, I suppose. Never saw him coming to camp. He would show you we need a dog.
Give us a light, will you? Cigarettes, you know. Never taste right. Unless the light is from a lump of burning red wood.
Mystery of unknown black man about to be solved. And Sixpence.
Yes,
my old tenor. What do you want? The
grub was excellent. There is an old man which says he must speak with you. Now, important things. Dear old man, please speak.
Attendi fool.
Sincerely. Greetings.
What are you doing in lousy country?
You're far from your kraal in the Mporokoto Hills, where men have named you the Jackal of Linsomfu. That's not so, Nzele. Have you eaten yet, old man?
Nzele comes to see the white man first. Nzele has not eaten.
Nzele, go with Sixpence. Get food. Then we'll hear your news.
Sixpence led the old doctor away. As he went, the ancient licked his lips and sniffed the night air and quickened his pace.
He's been responsible for some pretty terrible things. Murder, fire, accident, so-called. Sickness, heaven knows what else. He's always got away with it. No one would ever testify against him.
What did he want? He's a long way from home, John.
Your guess is as good as mine. Maybe he's out at Kembaruri. He's a marvelous tracker. We'll soon know anyway. Look, be a good chap, Frank. Open up one of those 12-volt cartridges, you know? Take the powder out and hold it in your left hand so you can still smoke easily. When I scratch my ear with my pipe, when instead he's talking, chuck the powder in the fire. Try not to let him see your hand move. We'll show him we too have strong motives.
Yes, John, but what?
You'll see. Look.
When the ancient had finished his meal with the other natives around their fire, Sixpence again led him to John Farrell and Frank.
Here comes your bird of ill omen, John. Now, remember.
Ah, sit down, Teddy. Sixpence, has the old man eaten?
Oh, he has eaten much, one. He will go to sleep like a python now. Oh, his belly is so full.
He can sleep when we've heard his words.
Sixpence left them, and Farrell addressed the old man.
You've come from far, Fairley. Your business must be urgent. Come on, you old bag of bones, speak. We want to sleep soon, and tomorrow we're going to hunt the big tusker.
White man, you speak truth. Nzele comes from far. But you ask too many questions. It is not for Nzele to answer questions like a woman. I come to tell you of shadows, of evil things. Do not kill me with your eyes.
If you lie to me, Nzele, or frighten my carriers, I'll tie you up and throw you to the crocodiles. Speak plain truth, old man, and speak fast.
Your path has crossed my path many times. My medicine has chased away evil spirits from your camp many times. Nzele has saved your life many times. I've traveled many days to find you, Mweli. Ah, I do know that is your name, white man. Mweli, the leopard. Many times, I, Nzele, has put your trackers on the spoor of the great tusker. And now, Mweli speak of throwing Nzele to the crocodiles. Death has no gratitude left. The legs of Nzele are old. My bones wish to die. But I will go now and drag myself back to the Mporokoto Hills. To my own people, I go now.
Sit down, Nzele. Forget what I said about the crocodiles. Walk on the straight path, and you need fear nothing.
Nzele forgives. Nzele came like the wind to the fire. No man saw him, for he wore a cloak of invisibility. Nzele walks without being seen. He smells out the evil ones. Nothing is hidden from Nzele, nothing. My old legs carry me over mountains, across rivers. My
Nzele, tell us what troubles you and stop flying like a bat in circles.
Now, how can Nzele walk in a straight path when there's so much to say?
I'm waiting.
When did you throw the bones last?
This morning before the sun rose.
What did they tell you?
The short path to your camp. But my spirit told me I should find three white men here. Three. Then the shadow fell across my chimney.
What shadow, old man? What shadow, old man?
Death. Death, white master. Three will go out hunting. Two will return.
You must not go out to Marubuana. Listen hard and heed what an old man says. An old man who has traveled hard and far to warn you.
Your words are heavy words, full of foreboding. We are hunters. The trail is our living. Without tusks, we cannot pay our carriers, cannot buy food, ammunition. We must hunt tomorrow.
Really? When you will sell an unborn child, until it walks with men, until it smelled out the evil one, put fear and death into people. Now, your friend and counselor begs you to stay in camp tomorrow. For he sees death and much blood.
Old man, your spirits have informed you incorrectly. They told you three white men. Here there are two. We'll prove it to you. If your words are true, there will be much smoke when you throw some of your mooty on our fire. If your spirits are wrong, our mooty will burn and make a light in the forest.
Taylor nodded his head, took some powder from a calabash which dangled from his snakeskin belt, and walked three times around the fire, chanting strange words and glaring into the night sky. Finally, he stopped close by Farrell's chair and hurled the stuff into the fire. There was no bright flash, just an all-pervading stink. The old man squatted once more, very much disturbed. And then Farrell scratched his ear with his pipe. Frank threw the powder into the open flame.
Whoa! That's just simply death for the night, anyway.
Those skin and bone seems to have vanished for good.
I must admit the old devil had me worried in one stage of the proceeding.
But Taylor returned.
Yours very strong, Mooty. But my shadows are still around me. Stay in the camp tomorrow, Buana. Please hear and tell his words. Suffering, much suffering, and death.
All right, old man. We will listen. We'll see what your spirits tell you in the daylight.
Tele was awake long before the light of day. The forest still slumbered as the old one stood warming his buttocks close by the embers of the evening fire. Tele built up this fire, scraping the white ash away from the still glowing coals. The night had been troubled. For the medicine man, he would have to consult his children, the bones, when the birds first sang.
Throw the bones for us, Teddy. Make sure your children tell the truth. Tell us what you see. But remember, you fear nothing.
To help you read the bones without fear, here's a small present for you.
And Lauderdale pressed a half-sovereign into the old man's open palm.
The white men are kind and generous. I have eaten well among friends. And now I have gold.
And the reading of the bones began. A large circle was drawn in the dirt at their feet. The old man hawked and spat and muttered and chanted. He took much snuff, which made his eyes stream. The bones, some animal, some human, were fondled and thrown. The ceremony took a long time. And then, finally, it was over.
What do you see, old man?
Only bad things, my father. My children tell me that there is another white man trekking towards the camp. He brings trouble. His feet do not walk like the hunters. He stumbles over roots and stumps and stones. He makes much noise as he walks. I also see three men. As my spirit told me yesterday, they are hunting the big bull, Temururi. Elephant is angry. Much blood from his head. He turns to find that which has hurt him. The natives all run away. One man is too slow. The bull catches him and throws him over his head. Soon he is dead. He's a black man. White man shout and run forward to help the black man. Too late. Too late.
What else, old man?
No, father, no. Cannot see the road now. It is there. It is dark. One rifle will not explode. Confusion. Tomorrow, my lord. Tomorrow. When you hunt the elephant, for my spirits tell me you will not heed an old man's warning. You shall witness strange things.
Before midday, Dick De Bruyn walked into the camp. The big Hollander sat down in one of the deck chairs and slowly pulled off his boots.
You must have traveled a long way yesterday.
Walked all blasted night and all day today, too. Have you found Temple Rory yet?
Not yet. We followed his spur for miles yesterday, but never got sight of him.
He was waiting for my bullet.
Odin Terry from Fort of Kosa turned up here last night and begged us not to go hunting elephants today.
Terry? We haven't seen that old swine for years. Thought he was dead. What brought him here?
Said he wanted a belly full of red meat and to warn us of danger.
Danger be... Tomorrow, we shoot Temple Rory.
First, though, Lauderdale and Farrell persuaded De Bruyn to meet in Taylor. The interview did not go well.
I'll kick you back to your former friend. 2 minutes if you don't get out of here. You give me any of your cheek, you son of Satan.
Well, your words are like the fire that burns the dry grass. It leaves everything black behind it. When you are angry, you are like water that runs into the sand. It means nothing.
Who blazes with you, Ontario? You killer of men and women. You maggot that crawls out of stinking flesh. Get out. Go before I shoot you. Six hands, drink your brandy.
And the old doctor stopped away. The Hollander's good humor was soon restored. But both Lauderdale and John Farrell felt a certain dread, a foreboding that they could not explain, a fear they could not put into words. The three men were old friends. They had hunted together for years. But now there was a great sadness in the hearts of the two Englishmen. Neither could understand what had caused it. And Temple Rory? The legends surrounding the name of the big bull were legion. He led a charmed life. He was known throughout the Zambezi Valley as Temple Rory, which means truly an elephant. Whenever one of the native hunters came across his tracks, they would turn away, for there was not a hunter in the valley who was not frightened by the brute. There had been death, village destruction, for Temple Rory seemed impervious to the heavy slugs from the natives' muzzle loaders. The bull's spoor was easy to follow, for the front left leg was slightly shorter than the right one. Chinkuta, the people of the valley said. The lame one. The hunt would begin on the morrow. The three hunters planned, whilst Ntele sat forsaken by the fire of the cook, which was cold and gray.
We'll work together tomorrow once we find the spoor. We three of us, one will be able to get in a good, clean shot. If we separate, well, get away again.
Suit me. John?
Sure. We've got to drop him where we find him, or our names will be mud in the whole area. The three of us, Scullum, and six or seven carriers should be in.
We'll go back to the touch later if we get him.
But it's my first shot.
Daddy, tomorrow we go to find Temple Rory. You're the best tracker Kasembe has. We shall be honored if you will lead us to the elephant.
My master, your words warm my heart. My limbs no longer shake. I will lead you to this bad elephant. But please, Bwana, will you not heed my words?
Leave Temboruri be tomorrow. There you are. The old scarecrow's in the blue funk.
Still yet not afraid. But he sees the shadow. If the white lord says go, then tell it goes. But go.
Lauderdale took out a long-bladed hunting knife and handed it to the ancient.
Carry this with you always, as a token of friendship. Tomorrow we hunt the bad
one. Telly bowed his head and took the knife without a word.
Tomorrow we must watch Dick, and watch him carefully. He's drinking a lot of brandy, and Telly knows something.
The party set out for the river before the next dawn, and Telly led the way. The white men, each carrying heavy caliber rifles, followed, and then came seven natives armed with spears and axes. 11 humans, each thinking his own thoughts. The forest, half light. The dew splashed their faces as they walked under low hanging branches. They pushed forward. The pace was hard. The brain stumbled and almost fell several times.
His feet do not walk like the hunters. He stumbles over roots and stumps and stones. He makes much noise as he walks. Many elephants pass by here. One elephant, Temboruri. Remember Itelli's words, my lord. Let us turn this way, to where no danger. The other way, walk with death.
Follow Temboruri.
When did he pass here? Middle of night. Follow him.
The brain had killed many elephants, but something was not right this morning. His humor was bad, very bad. The column moved forward. The spoor was easy to follow. The hunters knew that the bull would not remain near the water. They felt sure he'd make for the hills and the giant papundu trees. 3 hours. And Teller, eyes glued to the ground. A halt was called. 11 men, weary, hot. Coffee, food. 11 men shared the provisions. 11 men, all alike in the bush, for the danger was common. Kill Temboruri.
Tomorrow, my lord, tomorrow when you hunt the elephant, you shall witness strange things.
The party moved on. Sun hot, Opani flies bad. Suddenly, old and Taylor stood stock still. He pointed to a pile of new fresh dung.
Very near now, Bwana.
4 men advanced. Lauderdale, Farrell, the brain, and Ntele himself. Ntele one way, John and Frank another, spread out, Dick 30 yards apart. Ntele stops again, points to the ground. John and Frank are too far apart to see what he points at. While the Hollander is looking at what Ntele is showing him, there's a movement in the thick bush straight ahead.
Temboruri.
Lauderdale and Fadel are still. The brain appears to fumble with his heavy rifle. Then the other two see him level it at something in the bush ahead. There is a moment when the world seems to have ended. And then... the bull charges. It is Temboruri. The brain's bullet hits the bull a slanting blow, tearing a great gap through its head. Blood blinds the enraged animal. Temboruri bears down on and then past the brain. And Teller has just vanished. Dick the brain shoots again, but his rifle misfires. The elephant passes him like a thunderbolt. The carriers, hearing only one shot, think the beast is down and charge forward to be in at the kill. Their leader, one of the finest trackers in the party, rushes straight into the animal. Too late he throws his spear, but the spear bounces off the hide of Temboruri. The native dies within seconds. The brain extracts the failed cartridge and reloads. The bull sees the white man approach. Lauderdale's gun speaks. Saddle's gun answers, too soon to have even heard the question. Temboruri is down upon his knees.
Then he rises. The flaming trunk finds the Hollander. The man is lifted high, high. He seems to have disappeared into the sun. And Temboruri dies. Ivory and walk with death. The hunted seek revenge. Sometimes the score is even.
Again next week for another story of the African bush pheasant. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South Africa, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Acadian, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.